And that brings us to our special studio guest, Rita Ehrlich, who's a palate member and a former editor of The Good Food Guide here in Melbourne. A co-editor, I think, is probably how you would put it, Rita, isn't it?
That's right. I was co-editor with Claude Farrell for 15 years.
Indeed.
That was a while ago.
Well, officially welcome to the studio. We've spoken on the phone before, and you are an esteemed member of our organisation, but lovely to have you there. Now, we wanted to talk to you about the regional food scene. We concentrate a lot on what happens in the big city here, and Melbourne's gastronomy almost overwhelms the rest of the state, in many people's minds at least. How do you see regional food in the state of Victoria, Rita?
I think regional food's been going through an extraordinarily good time. And one of the things they suffer from, or the middle road places, you might call them, which are the places that most people love when they're travelling, they tend to be a bit neglected by mainstream media.
Right.
But there are people doing amazing things, and there are some very interesting examples of what's happening. There's a chef in Bendigo who used to be one of the top Melbourne sommeliers, and he, once he married and had and they had a baby, decided that the chef's life was not a good one for a family.
Yeah.
Moved to Bendigo because that's where her mum and dad were, and they've opened up a place there which is now in its second or third year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good example of what's happening in regional Victoria. There are a number of people, Rishenda Pritchard, for instance, in Malden, who's got Miss Pritchard's Pantry.
Mm.
And she was a chef in Melbourne, but she and her husband moved out of town, to Malden. The difficulty for many regional restaurateur and chefs is that business tends to be at weekends or long weekends.
Yes. That's hard, isn't it? To rely on 2 days, perhaps.
Yeah, that's right. So you either need to be in a regional centre like Bendigo or Ballarat or
Geelong, maybe,
or on the Mornington Peninsula. But even there, you see, that can be a bit patchy.
Mm.
So restaurants are dodgy things to run at the best of times. Mm. go out of town, and it's more challenging.
So a tree change is on for chefs and sommeliers, just as it is for us.
That's right. Mm. That's right. And they do some terrific things because they often do things much more simply.
Mm. Okay.
Because that's the market. There are the wonderfully grand places like Lake House and Provenance, but there are also all sorts of other places. Mm. And in Daylesford's got very rich pickings, in fact. There's a new place called Terroir. Right. I should have made a list. I'm very bad at making lists.
No, that's okay. We weren't necessarily meaning to be, so specific. But
The other thing that's happened, of course, is that there's been a huge growth with wineries. So lots and lots of wineries have restaurants attached, and that's particularly true on the Mornington Peninsula and in the Yarra Valley.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's a very good way of trying the wines with food and seeing what you think of them.
Mm.
But the biggest new one is Point Leo.
Oh, yeah, that's an unbelievable situation there. Right on the, for people who haven't seen it, right on the cliffs there, a vast lawn.
And sculpture.
And sculpture.
So there's a sculpture garden.
Yeah, and there's a caravan that serves fast food in case you don't feel like sitting down for the full catastrophe.
Oh, it wasn't there when I was there because we had trouble with their booking system and rocked up to find that there was very nearly.
Maybe it was a summer thing. I was there summer.
Yeah.
But the kids were going to buy their chips there and, it was inside the sanctum.
Grounds. Yeah.
But, the restaurant was full and a lot of people were sitting outside. We spoke last week to Lindsay Sharp. Lindsay, a lady.
Oh, yes.
Lindsay Sharp
yes.
at the Ballerine. And, of course, she's got Jack Rabbit. She's got Lura Park. She's got the golf club at Kerr Lewis.
She's doing very well indeed. She's a very good example of what's happening.
She is. Yeah, she is. And she's brought food, good food at a golf club. They those things don't go together very well.
They don't.
But she's turned it into a foodie destination.
That's right.
You know.
And if you're going to do that, you've got to know your local communities.
Yes.
You can't impose your city standards on a local community. You grow with your community.
Mm. And, of course,
you've got to use local produce too, don't you?
You do, yep. And Royal Mail is an example of that at Dunkeld. They've got the most magnificent market garden out the back. I think it's about 1.5 acres.
Which is what's needed, because what happens in Melbourne is people say, oh, we're growing our own food, and they've got a rooftop garden, which means that...
With mint.
Yes, with mint and parsley, and our own carrots means you get a single carrot. with a name and a provenance.
Yeah, no, I think that's really interesting. Are there any really far-flung, apart from Dunkeld, are there other far-flung destinations people maybe don't know much about, that should one whip up to Mildura because something's happened there? And
I haven't been to Mildura for a while. When I get there, I shall.
Since Stefano moved into the cellar.
There are always good places. The people, it's actually very interesting. How do you find out what's good locally? There are a number of ways. One of them, if you go to a local brewery or a local winery, say to whoever's there, preferably the winemaker or the brewer, where's good to eat round here?
They'll know.
They know.
Mm.
They know.
Yeah,
they're
really
reliable.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Excellent idea.
And if you're very, very lucky and you've had a good chat and you've bought enough bottles, they might say, oh, look, I'll give them a call for you, book you a table.
Mm. Yes. And I've been on the highway and looked up Yelp or one of the apps that knows where you are and can make recommendations, and we've been very lucky in finding places that were quite good. We stopped on the way. I did a thing recently where for the magazine I was writing for, I had to go up to the High Country, and we stopped at Yark.
Oh, Yark's good.
And there is a little coffee shop there, a bakery with a is it a moose out the front? It's a moose or a something with antlers. Something. And so if you get the Yark, which I think is a wonderful name, and you find this animal stuffed out the front, that's the place to go.
Oh, that's very useful.
It is really useful. Really, it's told you nothing. But anyway, there you go.
We all want to go to Yark.
Yark's on the way to the Mansfield.
That's right.
Yeah.
High Country is actually really good.
Yeah, we found
really,
some
really good eating up in the High Country.
And the cafe culture's alive and well in Mansfield, let me tell you. There was a lot of stuff happening. This is in late March, early April. A lot of stuff happening on the streets. People coffeeing and eating on the street. And it's quite a provincial town now, Mansfield. And that wasn't snow season, so it was very
that's
busy.
That's right, so that's useful. And places like Myrtleford and are really good. And Stanley has a pub that used to be fabulous, and I think it still is.
And the tobacco-growing country has turned into the special Prosecco country, the King Valley, up that way.
That's right. They went originally when tobacco became not the crop that everyone wanted. A lot of the tobacco growers turned to vegetables, specialist vegetables.
Oh, okay. That sounds great.
And specialist crops around that way. So it's still a great area for walnuts. They're still around, still in season.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I like that.
And still regional areas. The festivals are bringing people in, especially at weekends.
Yeah.
That's right. Lots and lots of festivals. There are the festival heyday, I suspect. No, it's not over. Festivals come and they go. Mm. It's rare to find a festival that has an endless life. Rutherglen is the exception to that. The Rutherglen Queen's Birthday Festival has been going since the 60s.
Since the Rutherglen Red.
Yeah, that's right.
Poured people out of the train at Spencer Street. I do remember that. That was an amazing phenomenon.
That's right. Well, they had to do all sorts of things to discourage drunks and to encourage sensible drinking.
I don't think it worked.
It did.
Did it?
It did.
They do it.
Well, it was interesting. The first year they found people were sleeping in the streets. Right, they said to themselves, how do we stop this? I know, someone said, let's make the festival in midwinter.
Well, that's something smart. To be said for that.
Very yeah, smart. Really, really smart. Mm. And when midwinter's the quiet time there, because vintage is over. Mm. I mean, one of the difficulties is that autumn's the best time for festivals, but you're in the middle of vintage.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a wine grower, brewing's different. You can brew it whenever you like.
That's right. That's right. And that's Lindsay Sharp's argument that they had half a year, their vats were empty, so they make cider in them.
Yep.
And you can make cider and you don't have to store it. You just shove it out the door.
That's right.
The Flying Brick Cider Company is a great destination.
It is. That's been a really clever one. Mm. Ciders is taking over from beer.
Yeah, I think it's having another go, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do remember I used to like cider. I wasn't much of a beer drinker, actually. But the cider I just found more interesting. Strongbow and a few of those things. They knocked you around, though.
Oh, they did. If you can get cider made from cider apples rather than sweet apples, it's a fabulous drink.
Mm. Well, sounds great. Rita, lovely to have you in the studio, and we look forward to hearing more from you. And learning also a lot more and engaging our audience in also some of the traditions of cooking that you understand and have written about. You're an author many, many times
many
over,
times.
Apart from being a journo. So thank you very much for being in the studio, and we look forward to chatting with you again in the next weeks.
I'm looking forward to it too.
Fantastic.
Terrific.
You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.